is Trackside with Kurt Cavan and Kevin Lee.
Green flag flies again here in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Will Power out in front. And Mark, they're going to tiptoe through turn number one and two. The S's here to start or restart today's race in Sao Paulo.
All playing nice today, but they still need to be careful when they bump that throttle bike through this area of the course because it's very, very wet. Will Power tiptoes his way through. Then Briscoe, then Sato. Almost at a snail's pace now as Marco Andretti looks to work his way around Graham Rahal.
Everyone will dive onto pit lane, as so it would appear. We're going to have to wait and see. No, cars will stay out. We expected to see them all making the move to pit lane as Davey Hamilton. The course is now almost completely wet. And yes, now all of the cars making the dive to pit lane. A great move by Takuma Sato as it looks like he outbrakes Will Power into a very wet turn number one, and he will take the lead.
And the Lotus machine grabs a spot, so KV Racing Lotus Technologies, Mike, running 1-2 on the streets of Sao Paulo with Takuma Sato and EJ Bizzo.
Taku will come in and he will hand over first place to Will Power, second place to Graham Rahal, and Briscoe will move up to third right now as the laps are winding down. Disappointment for sure for Jimmy Vassar and company as they have to give up the lead here with just a few minutes of race time remaining.
Well, you know what, Mike? It is unfortunate for that team, but it was a risk that they took, and they probably should have because it could have worked their way. We're just over 10 minutes left in this race, but boy, can we ever stop Will?
Penske poised to take two of the three podium spots. Ryan Briscoe runs third. Dario Franchitti and Oriol Servia, your top five.
Off the hairpin for the final time, back onto the concrete in the Sambadrome. Twin checkers will wave, and Will Power will claim the top spot on the podium on the streets of Sao Paulo as the rain once again starts to fall. Only appropriate that the rain falls as this race finishes because that's what it has done on most of the race weekend.
Welcome, everyone. Trackside with Cavan and Kevin, minus Kevin, who has decided to stay in Sao Paulo for a day. Actually, it wasn't really his choice. Kurt Cavan with the Indianapolis Star with you for the next hour, along with Matt Hicks, our studio producer. And at some point, our good friend Donald Davidson will wander into the studio here on Monument Circle, the MS Communications, and as Kevin says, worldwide headquarters. From 7 to 8 each night during the month of May, weeknights that is, the Cavan and Kevin Show, giving you Indy 500 coverage, the IZOT IndyCar Series, lots more. And then coming up each night, following the Cavan and Kevin Show, will be the talk of Gasoline Alley for about the 35th year, 40 years, something like that. Let's see. Donald came here in 1964, so he's about, we'll have to ask him exactly how long it's been, but the talk of Gasoline Alley is something that most of us have grown up with in this city, and now it's available, of course, over the internet. So wonderful to be to have Donald around again this year to have that show. I'll have the privilege of sitting in with him tonight. It'll be my first time to sit with Donald for the talk of Gasoline Alley. So I've got my own set of things to ask him about, but we welcome questions on the phone lines. We'll take phone calls tonight. That'll be at 8 o'clock, from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock at 317-239-1070. That same phone line will be available tonight if you'd like to jump in. You had something you'd like to share for this evening's discussion. Of course, I've got to do most of the talking tonight because, well, Kevin was off being a television star. He did a fabulous job, I thought, and I think that'll be something we get into as the week goes. He may not be here in studio tomorrow night. He may make a phone call because he's going to get in tomorrow. He's going to do that show on Versus at 4 o'clock, and he needs to spend a little home time. He's been away from wife and children for 4, 5, 6 days, so I told him he didn't need to come into studio tomorrow. He can just call in and try to catch up, and then we'll go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week at 7 o'clock, and then the rest of the weeknights in the month of May. It's going to be a terrific month. This is May 3rd. It's hard to believe. We spent a long off season waiting for racing to begin in the first place. So we see the Daytona 500, the 24 hours of Daytona first, of course, and then the IndyCar series at the end of March. We've now had four IndyCar races to work through. Of course, we know that the road course path goes through Will Power. He wins today. And by the way, it's no coincidence and something we've talked about on the show a great deal. News breaks when trackside shows are held. Today they host an IndyCar race just for us to talk about tonight. How about that? Matt Hicks and I were noticing on SportsCenter, and this is one of the advantages you have when you go to a Monday show. We've talked about this, maybe having a Monday show later in the year or at some point, a weeknight show at least. Yes, the show was on Versus was this morning, but ESPN didn't have much else to talk about today. So on SportsCenter tonight, they basically showed all of the highlights from today's race in Sao Paulo. That's something they just haven't been getting, certainly with a Sunday race. Now, I'm not advocating going to Monday racing because, as you saw, if you had a chance to catch the 8 a.m. show here in Indianapolis or in the Eastern time zone, by the way, that'll be a topic we get into as well, how most people didn't realize that Versus would have the live broadcast at 8 a.m., and I'll explain what happened there, but when you have a Monday morning show, there was no one in attendance, basically. And my guess is that from a television rating standpoint, you're going to have another difficult weekend. One of the topics tonight will be Randy Bernard. I spoke with him this morning. He, of course, was still in Sao Paulo. I guess that would have been early afternoon because the race was over about 10 o'clock, I guess, with the timing. And, Randy said it was an easy decision to get that race on, if they could, live on Versus, but he did know that it threw a loop for a lot of people. And so I guess this is as good a time as any. If you felt, as a lot of people did, that you missed the broadcast, you missed the live version, you weren't alone. I got probably 75 emails today from people saying, what happened? I thought the race was supposed to be shown for the first time at 1 p.m. Eastern, because that's what Bob Jenkins said as he closed the broadcast yesterday with the rain delay. He said 1 o'clock on Versus. And, of course, it was sometime then later in the afternoon that they made the decision that Versus was able to accommodate and show the race live. And, of course, that's what we all wanted. It's going to be difficult to follow that time with a 1 o'clock start. We would all wanted to know what happened in the morning session. And by the way, the reason they chose 8 a.m., that's 9 o'clock in Sao Paulo, was because they all were going to catch a flight and get back to Indianapolis and the Midwest as quickly as possible. A lot of the flights left today at 3:15. And so they wanted that race done and over with. They needed to turn the city streets back over to the city. They needed, Randy told me, they had a convention coming into the hotel and the complex that the convention center sits. That complex was needed for something else later in the week, and they needed to get vacating the premises. So it was today or nothing for the IndyCar series, and they had just enough moisture to make it interesting. Not enough moisture to cause problems. For those of you who haven't watched the broadcast, have been caught up in your Osama bin Laden information, Will Power wins the race from the pole. Graham Rahal second after a spin. Ryan Briscoe third. Dario Franchitti comes back from running into the tire barrier. He had a slide off in turn one. He comes back to finish fourth, and I think we can talk about this a little bit later on, that Dario made himself really did himself a favor for the championship by coming back and finishing fourth. He could have easily finished eighth or 10th, 12th, something like that. Maybe he doesn't even get out of the tire barrier. If he should get stuck in the tire barrier, lose a lap, Well, now you're talking about, let's see, the first car a lap down, in fact, the only car a lap down, was 16th, and that's Charlie Kimball. Charlie received 14 points for today's effort. Dario received 32, so an 18-point comeback, an 18-point save, I guess you could say, by keeping the car running, getting himself extricated from the tire barrier without needing assistance from the rescue fellas. And that's a big turning point in this season. Powers' lead coming to Indy is 14 points. Of course, he's going to pick up, you would expect, a few more points later this season just for winning poles on the street and road circuits. You'd expect him to get another three or four of those points. So, and Dario will probably get a couple as well. But realistically, Power leads 14, 16 points, something like that. Of course, that's not much. That's a difference between finishing first in a race and finishing fourth, as we saw today. But Power's going to have the points lead as we come to Indianapolis. So, Matt, did you make it up for the 8 o'clock start?
Well, I was at work, and I will just say that there may have been a broadcast in my computer that I watched, the Versus telecast. I do want to point out, I didn't know if you were aware of this or not, we here at 1070 The Fan at 9 o'clock are going to re-air the radio broadcast of the race.
Oh, very nice.
I should say air. That'll be the first time the radio broadcast is aired. We taped it this morning. It's going to be delayed this evening. I will tell our hardcore fans that there was an error in the recording process this morning, and I think we may have missed the first lap or so. So it will be joined somewhat in progress.
Well, one of the other complaints that I received a lot of talk about today was that there was no, what would you call that, a little flag up on, a little warning on IndyCar.com that, hey, the information you're about to read may not jive particularly well with the broadcast you're going to watch at 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
You know, a little spoiler alert.
A little, hey, if you don't want to know what happened here.
Exactly.
Right.
So I should have thrown out that little spoiler alert in case you were sitting by the radio waiting for the 9 o'clock broadcast. You're going to be a little bit disappointed. Let's look through the list. James Hinchcliffe, what an outstanding start to this season. Of course, he missed the first race at St. Pete, but has come back very well in these next three races and carries a lot of momentum that into this oval stretch. Newman Haas has been very quick the last couple years, certainly in qualifying. A little of that's changed, of course, some of the reasons for that. They may not be as quick, but one would expect them to still be a very strong candidate for top 6, 8, something like that for Hinchcliffe as qualifying continues this season. He, again, is the highest finishing rookie in this class. He finished 9th. J.R. Hildebrand with what I believe is his best finish, a 10th. For Panther Racing, and Sebastian Saavedra comes in 11th, certainly his best finish of the year for Conquest Racing. The other two rookies, actually three rookies in this race, I still have trouble considering Anna Beatrice a rookie, given that she had three or four starts last year, including a trip to Indianapolis 500. James Jakes finished 15th, Kimball, as I mentioned, was 16th, and Anna Beatrice 24th. And, as you have seen with these double-file restart races, you've got some interesting characters in the back half. Elio Castroneves 21st, Tony Kanaan 22nd, Danica Patrick 23rd, Sebastian Bourdais. Left a lot of questions to be answered as he got out of the car that didn't look particularly damaged. I have some questions about, you know, where things are. Sebastian has not looked much like himself the last couple races when I've spoke to him. He's been very eager to kind of get out of the conversation and not say anything that would offend the team that's working very hard for him, Dale Coyne Racing. He's clearly not accustomed and doesn't prefer to be back in the position that he's been so far this season. Let me give you a preview of a couple things, and we'll take a break. We'll talk about the Visor controversy, the penalties. Actually, he incurs two of them. We've got more on the power effect. An interesting thought by Mario Andretti today about some of the procedural things that are going on in the IndyCar series. And also we're going to talk about Tony Kanaan and that hand as we move forward, the hand he injured on Sunday as we move forward to the Indianapolis 500. All that and more coming up on Trackside with Kavin and Kevin minus Kevin. Welcome back to Trackside on a Monday night, May 3rd, and I say that because it's the first weeknight of the month of May. Just gets the blood flowing, doesn't it? Gets the juices going. This is a show that'll be on weekly during the month of May, or actually nightly for the next 4 weeks, 7 to 8 p.m. Talk a little Indy 500. The IZOD IndyCar Series in general. By the way, I will point out that testing the next couple days for Goodyear's NASCAR program is at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I know many of you who will listen to the podcast that will be up later don't really care about the NASCAR test, but there are people driving through Indianapolis who will be hearing race cars tomorrow, weather permitting, and then again on Wednesday, and I'll be getting emails asking me who's out testing. That used to happen a lot in this town. People would hear race cars and want to know, you know, who's out there. Is that Mears? Is that Fittipaldi? And many times it was. And so that's who will be out on the track tomorrow. Paul Menard, Juan Pablo Montoya, Kurt Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. will be the four cars that or the four drivers that Goodyear has selected to test at the Speedway this week. Again, this week you're going to hear Trackside with Kavin and Kevin on 7 to 8 p.m., followed by Donald Davidson's Talk of Gasoline Alley, and both programs will be available each night on the podcast format at 1070thefan.com. Donald will be with me here shortly, and we'll start talking a little Indy preview later in the segment or later in the show. By the way, I pointed out to Matt that even though Kevin didn't show up tonight, I have come prepared as Kevin does. Brought my water bottle. I brought my notes. I brought my books. See, I always have the easy part. He comes with some ideas. He comes with, kind of an intro to the show, and I see where he, I kind of go where he takes us. Matt was on the phone. I was pointing out I brought my water bottle.
Yeah, you got your water bottle.
It's like you said.
It's like coming to the softball game with a softball bag.
Bingo.
You got to look the part.
I looked the part tonight. I have come in my athletic shirt like
That's right.
Kevin would.
Was it free?
No, I actually, it was from my children.
Okay, I count that.
And by the way, I've not shaved, which is usually how Kevin comes to this show.
Yes, it is.
So I am in full Kevin mode at this point, and I have a list, and I have teased segments that we're going to get through. We're also going to do some emails tonight. But the tweet of the day, well, there were several, and I'm going to point out some, and I've been terribly amused by some of them, most of them from our good friend Jake Query, who, by the way, if you're not following Jake Query, you are making a big mistake. He really should be writing for a late night talk show. He has pointed out that Bin Laden stayed number one almost as long as Tiger Woods did in golf.
And the UConn women's basketball team.
The UConn women's basketball team. He suggested that had the Colts listed Bin Laden on their injury report, that they would have had him as probable for next week. So some great stuff from Jake, and I have retweeted that fabulous information, actually just comedy. But the one that stopped me today was from Mario Andretti, who came out and said what the guys on the television broadcast were trying to say, but probably his comes with a little more weight, and that was, when you have these wet conditions, which are very interesting to watch, on road and street circuits, that the double file restart probably should be put aside because you've got slick conditions, you've got spray, You've got cars that are trying to make tight corners that are going to bounce around, as we saw from Dario Franchitti on the first start, the initial start on Sunday. He just lost, I don't want to even say he lost the back end, but the back end stepped out a couple feet, made contact with Elio Castroneves, sent Castroneves into the wall, and Simona DiSilvestro and Danica Patrick had nowhere to go as trailing. And, of course, Danica then clips Tony Kanaan, and it really does cause a big mess. And in ordinary situation, you know, Dario doesn't have that problem. Now, you're going to have a two-wide start at the start of the race, no matter what. So, in that case, you probably wouldn't have a big problem. And really, the flip side is that today we didn't really see a lot of problems on the restarts. There was the one issue that involved Justin Wilson and an assortment of others, and you had Kanaan and all the Brazilians. Like, if your name on the passport has Brazilian logo, then you were in that spin, because it seemed like everybody, all three cars, that the requirement was you needed to be Brazilian to slide through the first turn, and that's what happened there. But really, we didn't see a lot of problems today. And again, the irony of the situation, Mario calls for the kind of the elimination, or I guess the single file restart on wet circuits. And today we had a wet circuit and tremendous formation. Those are the way we'd like to see races restarted in terms of alignment. It was beautiful. Came at the right speed. Speed didn't seem to be a problem when they got to turn one. It just was the proper pace, the proper spacing, the proper alignment. And lo and behold, we didn't have any problems. I'll probably have a note here within the few minutes that one of the reasons was Castroneves was already 9 laps down. And I understand that. See, Elio's on a flight, and he didn't hear that. And Merrill Kane, his PR person's on a flight, he didn't hear that. So the podcast may not be available for that little segment. The other interesting tweet that I saw, our good friend Mark Lynch, who pointed out yesterday when that first accident occurred at the start, you've got Danica Patrick's car in the air, hits this, and this was a wonderful sequence, except for if you're Tony Kanaan. And by that I mean, it's amazing that Tony said the wing hit his hand. He said that the wing on Danica's car, actually she said that, she said that he told her that. Now, I've not had a chance to talk to Tony yet, but if that's the case, it's unbelievable that thumb's not broke on his left hand. Which, by the way, 2003, he and Scott Dixon have a crash at the Twin Ring Motegi circuit in April. Both of them break their wrist or hand in some form. May have been wrist or hand, it kind of escapes me, but I think they were both the wrist. And that is what leads to Mario Andretti driving his car, Tony's car, at Indianapolis for the test, the open test, as it were. And then, of course, Mario flips after running over debris from Kenny Brack's crash late in the day that Channel 13 here in Indianapolis got the video for. All that said, they both came back and raced in the Indy 500 a few weeks later, and I would expect that it would take sawing off of TK's hand to keep him out of this year's 500. He's going to be one of the outside contenders. But getting back to the tweet that Mark posted, he pointed out that during the red flag, teams are not allowed to work on their cars. And they're, by rule, except for when the rule is waived, as it was later on in the day, that teams must have that equipment just covered up and can't work on it. And his tweet asked if they were allowed to work on Tony's wrist during the caution. I thought that was clever. And I didn't see anybody objecting to the work on Tony's wrist. So the equipment there was allowed to be worked on. And by the way, somebody needs to tell Foyt what the rule is, because he was right there in the middle of it. I didn't see him stop, and I didn't see an official trying to stop him. Mike Landretti can talk about blocking with EJ Viso to all the officials he wants. I can tell you and promise you, Michael's not going to the official to make sure that Vitor's car is not being worked on by Tex himself. And by the way, I was quite surprised Tex made the trip, given his heart issues the last couple weeks and the procedure that he had done, less than a month ago now, probably, 3 weeks? Was it the barber weekend? I think it was the barber weekend. Friday of the barber weekend, or was that Friday of St. Pete?
I was thinking it was Friday of St. Pete.
May have been Friday of St. Pete.
That's what I was thinking.
But at any way you look at it, here is Foyt right in the middle of it, and he doesn't predict. He's not fond of that Brazilian trip to start with. There's, he likes the normalcy of the U.S. He likes having his regular food at a regular time. I remember last year in Brazil, he had a big bag of food, junk food that he had brought. So. Yeah, he's not a big fan of the São Paulo race, and I can't imagine he was too eager to hear that they're going to have a race in Porto Alegre next year. In fact, two races in Brazil, they've probably not called Tex to tell him. So that's where that stands. Later on in the show, when Donald Davidson maybe wanders in here, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Indianapolis 500 with him, some of the schedule of things to come. Of course, we've kind of got about 10 days here. We're just a little bit quiet. Rookie orientation on the 12th. I have to look to see who counts as a rookie in this race. Let's get the old sheet here. We have got, I didn't make notation of this, but it should be pretty easy to figure out since I've got the 40 car and driver combinations. Actually, I've got 39 that I'm counting.
I think that's right. 39, or is it 40 now?
Well, there's not 40 combinations yet because Dale Coyne's not announced Alex Lloyd, but I'm going to put him down on the list.
I think that's what I was counting.
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself then, my friend. Dragon has not officially confirmed Ho Pin Tung.
Oh, okay. I thought they had. They have not.
No, they have not. They have said that's who they're going to run. They're going to test
him. I take
him.
Your word as gospel, so if it's in the paper.
Well, you can take it as gospel, but I'm telling you that on the official entry list, they've not confirmed it. And the Sarah Fisher car, the second Sarah Fisher car, which I believe will be Buddy Lazier. I think that's where that's going. I don't know that for certain. I just have a hunch that that's where that's going if they can get Ed Carpenter up to speed. So let's get back to the rookie situation. You've got Charlie Kimball at Ganassi. You have surely Jay Howard's good by now, even though he's tried to make this race a couple times. Anna Beatrice was in the Dreyer and Reinbold car last year. You've got James Hinchcliffe at Newman Haas. You've got J.R. Hildebrand at Panther. And Pippa Mann, see, she's not officially been confirmed to the entry list, to my knowledge. I guess yes, they have announced that. Conquest has sent a release on that. And then you'll have James Jakes in the Dale Coyne car, number 18, and Ho Pin Tung, if he's confirmed as expected. And then the car that'll hopefully come with... I can't just call him Tung. I don't know why that's a difficult last name. So we may just have to say Ho Pin Tung every time we talk about the driver of the Dragon car. But there, if that comes through as it's expected to, in other words, this is where you insert the phrase, if the check clears, you'll get Simon Pagenaud perhaps in a second car at Dragon, which would be a wonderful thing, of course. And then that would leave, in my opinion, that's 39. That would be 39. No, that would be, there are 39. I'm not counting Pagenaud just yet, and I'm not counting the second car at Sarah Fisher. That would get you to 41. And looks like a half dozen rookies. So anyway, the rookies would go on May 12th. That's a Thursday. I assume that would be available the south end of the facility.
It is. The South Terrace grandstands are open to the public. So you go into gate two entrance. You can go and watch there. And I know our friend Doug Bowles would like us to point out, too, Saturday, the 7th, this Saturday, is the Emerging Tech Day. And they're going to do, I don't know what kind of cars they're going to put out there, but I think it's solar-powered deal, that sort of thing. And then the balloon glow that night, which
was pretty cool last.
Yeah, the kids like that a lot.
You do sound like you work for IMS. So.
Well, you know, if they're hiring, give me a call.
I'll try to have Doug Bowles join us one night this week if I can convince my co-host to... He's still in Brazil. Who cares? We can make decisions without him. Actually, he's in the air probably over Uruguay at this point. But we'll try to have Doug on to talk about some of the things going on and then the opening of the track on May 14th. Okay, it's... 25 minutes before the hour. We've still got a couple, three things we need to get to before we turn this over to the talk of Gasoline Alley, including the EJ Viso weekend that he had. What a adventurous weekend and probably some thoughts on that. He wasn't particularly pleased. We'll talk about that next. This is Trackside with Kevin and Kevin. Welcome back to Trackside. It's Kurt Cavan, minus Kevin Lee, who's decided that Brazil is a much nicer place than Emma's headquarters tonight. Actually, he's in the air, probably having peanuts back in row 38. Let's run through some emails real quick. The first one I get from Mike in Wendell, North Carolina, wanting to know about the Lazier brothers. Any word on them and hoping for some more American entrants. As I said a minute ago, I would expect... I still think Buddy's got a shot to be in this race, probably with Sarah Fisher's car because there's not very many seats left. Jacques, I just don't see it. Moving on here to Steve, Indy Steve in Springfield, Oregon. I like Indy Steve in Springfield, Oregon. Based on your discussions with the owners of the five unfilled cars... what do you think of China Racing? My thought on China Racing, it doesn't really exist. It's an entry, I believe. It probably has something to do with Greg Beck. Donald Davidson has approached the microphone. Anything you've heard on China Motorsports?
No. I thought that was for Ho Chi Minh, but
he's something
with
another
like, team. No, I didn't say that.
Then the question about the 16 car of Highcroft Racing. Things have gone pretty quiet with Highcroft. It looks like, and from what I've heard, that Pagano is being allowed to talk to Dragon as a separate deal. Do you have something? He's getting.
I only do the past.
Well, this
Bill
is going
Vukovich.
To be Bill Vukovich.
Parnelli Jones.
For those of you just joining us, the talk of Gasoline Alley comes up in 19 minutes. How many years for the talk of Gasoline Alley, Donald? Do you have?
Well, actually, the bloodlines of the program go back to 1966. I did a program in 66 on 1070 called Dial Davidson. It was Sid Collins' idea. And then for a variety of reasons, we didn't do anything again until 71. But it's been continuous since then. And it wasn't called the talk of Gasoline Alley for a while, but... this is actually the 40th year, but the 41st season that we've done one on 1070 in May.
This is incredible. And from a personal standpoint, I'm delighted that for the first time I get to ask a question on the talk of Gasoline.
You could have called in.
I could have called
1070.
In. Don't give out the phone number just yet. You and I have a lot of great conversations off air on the phone, but this is great because I want to ask. I got a couple, three. I wanted to, or at least one. If I get one in, I'm going to be good because we got to get a lot of calls.
Well, I have to be very careful if it means expressing an opinion. I mean, I've already said something I shouldn't have said. I took a cheap shot when I came on just a few moments ago.
That's all right. You're in the Trackside show, and that's okay. No, my question. You're going to give you time to think about it. I want to know about the greatness. From what you know and have read about Ted Horn. Ted Horn is not somebody that you hear a lot of discussion points about. And so that's what...
Okay.
Sit on it for right now. But I want to come into the talk of Gasoline Alley and talk about Ted Horn because of all the quality drivers that have been through this sport, and he'd be one of the guys that you would first come to mind about guys who didn't win the .500, but certainly had the credentials to do so. He's not somebody that's discussed a lot for some reason. So let's do that here in a few minutes. Question comes from Fred in Indianapolis. He wanted to know about live video streaming from for the Indy 500, and I'm still kind of led to believe that that is just every time you get a question about video streaming, it's just not going to happen here in the short term. I mean, Versus in particular has said they don't want this to be they don't want streaming out there. They have it in a contract that they have the rights to these races, and they want to keep it that way to drive up interest in their product and in their vehicle. So I just don't see it. Our good friend Jim here in Indianapolis says that with all the dark horse talk, and he says that based off things that I've written on the Q&A about drivers who could win the 500. He says, I'm telling you, watch Vitor Mira. Look at his record at the 500 and look at the improvement at Foyt in the last 12 months. I want to be on record as one of the few to see this coming. And I think, Jim, you make a good point from the standpoint, you look at Vitor's results. I guess he fell to 12th in the standings after today's race. By the way, Donald, did you know that they held today's race because we have a trackside show tonight?
No.
All news happens on days. It's unbelievable how often racing news has been happening on Thursdays. So that's why today's race was held when it was. I'm stalling a minute here because I wanted to look up Vitor's results. Vitor has finished 8th, 12th, 9th, and whatever he was today, he was 17th. So, you know, Vitor, yeah, he ran well, but he ran well with Panther. Panther then has finished twice, second twice with Dan Weldon. And Foyt's team is better, but it's just going to have to take the right circumstances for the 14 car to get to victory lane at Indy. I went through, and I know this will get people fired up, but I did some first-tier guys who can win, some second-tier guys, and then some third-tier guys. And here's the five, you know, the five that we all know about, the three Penske's and the two Ganassi's in the top tier. And by the way, I'm going to downgrade Briscoe. I think Briscoe goes to the second tier. He has not shown that he can beat his teammates. And I don't think he can beat Elio at Indy, and I think Power's on a roll. And the bottom line is, I don't think you could say anybody else is the favorite but Dario. And if there's a second favorite, it's Dixon, based off how well the Ganassis have run at Indy the last 4 years. So those four in the first tier, the second tier, now I've downgraded Briscoe. I'm not buying that stock. The second tier would be Conway, who ran really well last year at the Speedway, Marco Andretti, Danica Patrick, Tony Kanaan, which I think goes to the top of that second tier. That's my second tier. I'm not putting anybody else in that second tier. The third tier, I'm going to put Graham. I'm going to put, I'll allow Vitor to slip into the third tier, although I think that's he's on the high end. Thomas Schechter at KV. I think that KV team's going to have a good month. Well, at least two of them, at least. And Paul Tracy at Dreyer & Reinbold. I think that's a third tier. I'll tell you the surprise, he's a third tier, but a surprise could be Townsend Bell. He has run well. That fast race team looked exceptionally strong last year. That now acquired by Sam Schmidt. So Tagliani and Townsend Bell, I think, are going to be very fast. And the addition of Buddy Rice at Panther, I think, you know, I don't think Hildebrand could win the 500 for Panther. We know they've got a strong package at Indy. I think Rice could be just the kind of person to get them in the hunt, although he hadn't run an Indy car since
2008 was his last 500.
So it's that's in the past, Donald.
You don't have Dan Weldon yet.
I'm getting to Dan Weldon. Mm-hmm. Also in the third tier, I would have Newman Haas's Oriel Servia, but I don't think he's any more than a top three or four car. And then I'd put Weldon, but I still think Weldon's at the bottom of that third tier because the team is so young, it's so new. They have some good staff members, but it's a very small team. I think at St. Pete, when they announced it, they only had six employees. You know, you can get people You know, when the driver knows what he wants, when the engineer can deliver that for him. But still, when you're going to try to beat Dario Franchitti, and you're going to try to beat Scott Dixon and Elio Castroneves, that's tall task. And that would be Herta's first race since last year's Indianapolis 500.
Mm-hmm.
Weldon's first race since the end of last year. I know you've got a week, but you've only got a week to get things up to speed and going. You know, you're looking for a real dark horse. To me, that's Townsend Bell. That's a real dark horse for me.
I'm very high on him.
I think he can. You know, he was fourth a couple years ago.
Yeah.
As I said, fast and that fast team, by the way, is intact. Rob Edwards, that they were the star of the show last year among the teams that you wouldn't have expected. I think the KV guys are going to have a really good month. I think Kanaan and Scheckter are going to make a really nice Indianapolis package. If they don't tear up many cars, they tore up quite a few last year. That got to be a problem. And we've talked earlier about James Hinchcliffe. I think he could be somebody else you'd want to be watching for Rookie of the Year. I kind of thought Hildebrand would be that guy this year, but that has not come to be just yet. All right, I'm going through the rest of my
while you're
emails
looking,
that I brought.
Let me ask you this. The 12th, for rookie orientation, will there be a veteran refresher program that day at all?
No. I think the veterans don't come on the track until Saturday, and essentially that's Saturday practice, which I think goes from noon to 2, is essentially that session.
I think what he means is if Buddy Rice hasn't run since 08 and people in that category, because now we have these odd patterns where people are gone for a few years and then come back again, and typically they get to run. I mean, even Alan Sue Jr. did that after he hadn't been there for a couple of years.
Yeah, and they may get – Rice may get Thursday because – and I would expect that he will, and that would probably include Rice and Weldon and
– maybe Davey?
Maybe, I don't know. Davey and not. Carpenter, they may get some quick refresher. You know, Carpenter ran all last year. So did Weldon, for that matter. So did Scheckter. He ran most of the year, and Davey ran several races. I suppose they could. I've not gotten a ruling on that. John Andretti's another one who hasn't been in a car this year. Bruno Junqueira as well. But rookie orientation being Thursday. So we'll have to check on that. Maybe we won't get that in Talk of Gasoline Alley, but maybe we'll get an answer for next week. Or next. Hey, we say next week, same place, same time, tomorrow night and the rest of this week. Couple minutes left here in the show. Let's go to Mike in Houston who asked, about the delay. they told that the race was going to be at 1 o'clock on Versus and no fault of the Versus broadcasters. That was the information as of 3:30 Eastern. But the Versus people and Randy Bernard were able to get together and work out a time slot for a morning live broadcast. And, you know, believe me, I thought it was great. I thought it was got the kids off to school, have a cup of coffee, watch racing. This is the way it should be. The house was quiet. I didn't have to fight with, a golf tournament to watch or a NASCAR race to watch. There just wasn't anything on but auto racing, and that was great. In fact, I didn't realize how many notes I had saved to that point. Because there was a lot of people upset. Remember we got the Talk of Gasoline Alley coming up. 317-239-1070 is the phone number. You've got the podcast that'll be available. Matt, what are the things is Kevin usually laying out at this point that I'm forgetting?
I think you've got it all down.
How about that?
And you've reminded everyone we're here all month. This is the first of many encounters with Trackside and the Talk of Gasoline Alley. If I could be so bold, I want to sneak Nate in real quick. He called in with a question.
All right, let's go with Nate.
He wants to ask about the $5 million bonus, so I want to sneak him in here. Real
quick. Got 2 minutes, Nate. Bring it. Nate, you there?
Well, maybe we lost Nate. But he actually wanted to ask about the $5 million bonus, and he raises an interesting question. If somebody were to do the 500, they would be ruled out for Vegas, correct?
The reality is just about anybody who would be in this field is already out because they are in the within the IndyCar family. They haven't defined the parameters at this point. In fact, because I don't think they want to. I think they want to see who's interested, and then they'll define it. Of course, isn't that the way you think this goes? Well, Donald's laughing.
Just sign the contract, and we'll fill in the details later.
Well, you know, they kind of announced this. Randy Bernard basically announced this without all the details lined up, and you can go through the IndyCar Series office and get that confirmed. That doesn't take a whole lot of work. And Randy is the first to admit that the strength is his brainstorming. His weakness is his lack of support for that brainstorming. And not really that he doesn't come up with it. It's just that not all the pieces are in place when he first opens his mouth publicly. And that's, you know, he's got a lot of energy. He comes up with some really good ideas. He would be the first to admit that he's not thought them all through just yet. And he doesn't have commitments for this. You know, he doesn't have a Juan Montoya or a Jacques Villeneuve all lined up ready to run this race, or a Kurt Busch or a Kyle Busch. You know, in the NASCAR side, he's going to have to wait to see who's in the chase and who's not.
I heard a rumor the other day that Jean Alesi was in the picture. Have you heard that one?
I've heard that name, but come on.
I think he's like 48 years old, yeah, or something like that.
He may not be the youngest. He may not be the oldest driver in his field. That's the thing, because Davey Hamilton may have him beat. But this is... they're going to wait till after the Indy 500, see what cars are left, make sure none of the car owners are having second thoughts. You know, Penske, if he comes out and wins the Indy 500 and has got a good car to win the championship, he may feel differently about his participation. He's already talked about that. But you've got you're going to have some people try this. Is it going to be the big names? Randy Bernard can't tell you right now, and neither can I, in terms of who you're going to have in that group. Notice, though, in all the names that we've talked about tonight, people have asked this question all through the offseason: where is Sam Hornish Jr. going to fit into this Indianapolis 500 picture? And as I've been saying, he's not. So you're going to have to watch him in nationwide races for about 10 more times this season, and hopefully he can fare well enough to get his career back on track and maybe pick up something full-time for next season. But I don't see his interest in the IndyCar Series, and I guess we're going to have to assume that from this point forward, he's in stock car racing. So, tonight, great show. Thanks for joining us. Podcast will be up later. Podcast every night this week and the rest of the month, 7 to 8, Trackside with Kevin and Kevin. Kevin will be back at least in the U.S. By tomorrow, and he'll join us probably on the phone tomorrow night. And then we're back to our routine on Wednesday night and for the rest of the week. For Matt Hicks and Donald Davidson up next, this is Kurt Cavan. Thanks for joining us.